the principles behind here can be abused or can be misused or can be wrongly applied. That's a better way to put it, in that there is a natural identity and Christians are not supposed to stick with natural identities. That's where I'm going. I have explained that your identity comes from where you are from and your purpose in life. Alright? Now, having explained that principle, let's now look at how believers in Christ Jesus are supposed to derive their identities from these two places. Number one, I said that there's a natural identity. Quickly open your book to your Bible to the book of John chapter 3. Nicodemus went to Jesus Christ to go and talk. We know the story. And then Jesus now began to explain some things to him from verse 4. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? After Jesus said, you must be born again to see the kingdom and all of that. In verse 5, Jesus now answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, please, verse 6 is where our message is taken from. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, I want to just bring out something from here. He said, there are two kinds of birth, he was saying, people can experience. There's natural birth and there's spiritual birth. Our text for today, which we took from the second book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you see Paul outlined those two different birth conditions. He said, you can recognize somebody according to the flesh. Are you getting my point? Or you can recognize him according to the Spirit. Paul said, this is what Christianity is. Henceforth, we don't recognize any man according to the flesh. Are you getting my point? Henceforth, we don't recognize ourselves according to the flesh. Henceforth, we don't recognize Christ Jesus, even himself, as he was in the flesh. What we recognize him by is what he is in the Spirit. Are you getting my point? Now, let me bring it down. That is, let us assume your father is a traditional ruler. Therefore, they call you a prince. Do you understand my point? That is recognition after the flesh. Have you seen this one before? A young woman wants to marry. Assuming her father is very, very influential, a big man. Assuming, for example, a former president, Obasanjo, or former vice president, Alex Ekwueme, that kind of thing. So the young lady wants to marry. And I say, my name. So by the time you now marry Chukwubike. So, assuming Chukwubike is his surname. And I say, her name is Lisa Obasanjo Chukwubike. You've seen that before? It's all over town. We see it everywhere. It's because of recognition after the flesh. People want to tie, you know, to something that's, naturally speaking, is important. Let me say this to you. Christianity is a totally new life. Christianity takes you from the old, all right, and takes you into the new. And do you know why Christians are not so much persecuted these days? Do you know the reason? It is because we are just as worldly can be. It is not possible to be truly Christian and not suffer persecution. It is not possible. The problem, all right, why we are so popular instead of being persecuted is because we have eaten a lot of worldliness. Let me give an example. Amongst us, a lot of our churches, we still recognize men for being rich. A rich man will still walk in, we still give him a front seat. So he will come back next Sunday. But you know what Peter said we should do? Give him a seat according to how he came. If he came early, he sits in front. If he comes late, he sits behind the gate, like everybody who comes late here, until the door opens again. And once the door opens, he should find a seat. The only person, the Bible even says we should give some recognition, and I'm not even sure it's in the assembly, is if somebody is a ruler amongst men currently, that is, if a governor walks in. You understand? Those are the kind of people sometimes, I'm not even sure it's inside the assembly. Anyway, I like some churches. Those days in Winners, if president comes in, he had better find C2. I remember those days. We'll go for ministers' conferences. Big bishops will arrive. Oh boy, find your seat. If you are not preaching, nobody's carrying you to the front. What am I trying to say? Now, for us, rich men will continue to come back because we give them front seats. This is how you will know persecution. A multi-millionaire who drives around in an entourage, driving big cars, Rolls Royces, you know, latest model, BMWs and all of that. He shows up for Bible study. And as he walks in, he's waiting for somebody to usher him to his seat. He just ushers and says, no, please, okay, shift inside. We don't like spaces between our seats because people are coming. He go look you. Look himself. Ask you, do you know who I am? He said, really, sir, I don't. Can you tell me? You know, that kind of thing. He said, I am so person. He said, oh, you are not a preacher. No. You are not preaching today. Say no. I mean what I'm saying. Go and sit where. He will say, you people are uncultured. You don't have respect. And he won't come back. That's persecution. But you know the truth? If he says that, he didn't come to hear the truth. If he had come to hear the word, he wouldn't care where he sat. Zacchaeus was an important man amongst people. Yet, when he wanted to see Jesus Christ, nobody tell him before I go climb through. Now, you are getting what I'm trying to explain here. So, this is what I'm trying to make. We Christians, the reason why we are not being persecuted anymore is because we live exactly like the world. Are you getting my point? Because true Christianity, what it does is that it tears you away from where you were coming from. And creates a new identity for you. And if you live like that, my brother, my sister, life no go easy initially. No, it can't be easy. It cannot be easy. Imagine that your father, like I said, is very, very influential. You now marry one small boy. And you carry your papa name, you cast him away like that. The man will, he will think actually, that you are casting away opportunities. But Paul says something, don't ever forget that long, beautiful, one of my favorite portions of the scriptures from the book of Philippians. Paul said, all those things that I counted as that were gained unto me, I counted them as what? As loss. So that I can get to know Christ and be acquainted with the power of his resurrection. Listen, until you are ready to throw away even your natural advantages, you are not ready for the power of Christ to work in you. Now, this is a mistake we make as Christians. We think that giving your life to Christ means you cast away what you think is bad. Are you getting my point? So if I was in a cult, I stopped being in a cult. Alright? Because what they are doing supposedly is bad. Let me tell you something about Christianity. What it means is that I cast away everything about the former life. Good or bad. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. There are things that you think are good. And it's still of the old order. And you are not to be recognized by it. As I'm going on, you will understand this thing better. The identity of a Christian, it must be marked out in only one place. And that is in whom? In Christ Jesus. That's all. Paul said, henceforth we recognize no man after the flesh. Let me tell you something. One of the things that God... Well, I didn't even notice he's doing it. I just noticed it, all right? That people pass comments and all of that. When I get to... I work in a hospital, university and the hospital. So, and there, I'm supposed to be amongst the top rank of creatures that work in the place. You understand what I mean? A hospital is about medical practice. And I'm a consultant. Is that okay? Now, it didn't strike me that I'm not supposed to parley with people who are very, very low. I don't know whether I get my point. My department, all right, is pathology. Therefore, the morgue is part of my department. I can walk into the morgue, for example, and see one of the mortuary attendants. There's one guy, his name is Dan. Dan and I go begin box. They Dan, hey, doc, you don't come, you know? And, you know, I didn't think it was anything about it. I have never thought it as anything. I think until some people pass some comments about it, I said, is this supposed to be, you're a humble man? No, I don't think it's humility. The man I'm talking to is older than me in age. What makes me think I am better than him? Now, listen, I don't forget my place. So if I give an instruction, it has to be obeyed. No, do you not get my point? If I walk in there and say, why is this thing like this? Please, I don't want to see this one here. Next time I want it done like this. The answer is yes, sir. But that's because we are performing a particular function. It doesn't mean the individual is inferior to me as a person. It just means he didn't go to the kind of school I went. And the reason may have nothing to do with his person. Because, believe me, I can't remember when I started going to school. What I mean, it was not a decision I made. In fact, somebody like me, I started going to school out of stop disturbing the house, and like, go. I started going to school very, very early. So I can't remember it. I can't remember being smart. I just used to go to school. I don't know whether you get my point. There was no one that they say, okay, who are the people who want to be smart here? Put up your right hand. And I put up my right hand. We just kept on going to school. And do you follow my point? Things were just following, okay. Now, Bill, I say, you know physics. You go do science. Nothing spoiled. Do you understand my point? We just continue doing the science. They say, okay, jam come. Fill jam form. What course are you going to study? Okay, write medicine there. Nothing spoiled. You do jam, you pass. You do get my point? You enter university. And several times, car has almost killed me. But it missed me, and I'm alive today. Do you get what I'm saying? So what do you have that you did not receive? I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. That's the way I have viewed life. A man's natural attributes doesn't confer anything on him spiritually. And Christianity is simple, that you don't look at life from a natural perspective. You know, one day I looked, until now I do it once in a while, but one day I looked at, I think, one of my kids. And what came out of my mouth, unconsciously, I just said, man of God. That's a child who I flog when he misbehaves. The flogging is not about superiority, it's about offices. Fathers flog their children for misbehaving. It's part of training him in the way of the Lord. I just looked at him and said, man of God. And this is what I said one of those days. I said, God, this is a servant of yours that you have brought into my life that I might train him for you. This boy is not my son. He's a servant of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because in heaven, all of us will be the same age. I can look, will come and say, so daddy, you are my... He says, so, Baba, you are my daddy on the earth. He said, I feel bad because we're the heaven. I say, we'll be mate, Abby. Yeah, because we all are going to look about the age of 30, thereabout. Yeah, something around that. How do I know? Jesus fixed it at the better level. Yeah. You want me to prove that to you? He died about the age of 33. Do you understand my point? And when he rose again, they could identify him. Well, this is the guy. So he was looking like his proper age. And when he comes, we shall be like him. Is that not what the Bible says? Are you following what I'm going to explain? I said the culture of Christianity is that we don't regard people according to their natural order. Let me even talk about marriage as an example. You've heard me preach that again and again, but we can't say it enough. I'm very happy. When I look at myself, I said, God created me to be able to make some points. My wife's from Delta State. All right? I'm from Ondo State, naturally speaking. And like I always say jokingly, my son is from Enugu State. Ondo State, my wife's from Delta State, my son is from Enugu State. In fact, when my brother was getting married, I was the preacher for the day. I wonder if I finished preaching. One of my aunties came when we were in the house. He said, Colin, thank you very much. That's what they call me at home. He said, thank you very, very much that I went to go and use her to preach. I said, what? That my message today was directed against her. I said, look at me. Do I look like I have your time? That I will be manufacturing sermon because of you. Why? Because I spoke that day on reasons why people don't do the will of God, specifically about marriage. I said, number one, why don't people make the right choices? I said, one, he's not from my place, one of them. Number two, I have not yet achieved materially in life. And I gave a number of things, all right? And because my auntie is one of those proponents of marry from your place, she thought I was preaching about her. It's like, auntie, I solved your case when I got married 10 years ago. That was when I solved you. Do you understand my point? You stop being an issue. Then, the interesting part? It never... Now, God, who I'm serving with all my heart, knows what I'm saying is not a lie. It's never crossed my mind that it was an important thing to use to make a choice. No. God formed that different ways, all right? I'm not trying to present like a hyper-spiritual man. One of the ways he did it was that I went to school, University of Benin. My best friends, one, they are still my friends today. My best man, all right, as an example, his name is Uchechi Obioma Igbokwe. How more Igbo can you get than that? Look at that name. No English one inside. Uchechi Obioma Igbokwe. His name is even Igbokwe, you know? Not even normal, something like maybe Chukwubike, that kind of thing. This one, no. From the heart of Abia State. That was my best man. Do you get my point? If you name best friends, one of the people you will name as my best friend, we were sitting on the phone together yesterday. His name is Chukwudi Eke. He's from Etiti in Imo State. We're all in school together. We're classmates. Do you get my point? These were people. The other one of my friends is from Edo State. These were people that I could trust with my life. Do you get what I'm saying? So maybe that's part of my own problem. You know my problem now. So I had been thoroughly detribalized long before it became a matter of marriage. Long before then. When we're house officers, I remember we took a trip from Benin to Owerri, from Owerri to Umuahia here and then back. Just going to visit our guys. Went to my friend, which is hometown inside his village. Went to go and visit his father there. That was many years ago. I mean, my friends, when they were like the Chooks, when he was going to America, he signed a whole booklet of check leaves. Just signed them empty and said, Banky, please hold it for me. If I need to do anything. That is, he gave me his money to keep. He didn't give his brother. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? He gave me his money to, that is, he signed checkbook empty and handed it to me. And I held it. So, you know, for me, you know, that tribal stupidity left my body long ago. That's if it ever entered. I saw good people from everywhere, and I saw evil souls from everywhere. Let me tell you this story just to make you laugh. One girl from, this is from my, well, then was my state. So then on those state, she married. Married, finish. After some months, the husband went back to go and visit the father and told the father all the bad things the girl had done to him. The father, when the guy finished talking, the father said, you know the day you were getting married, did you notice that I was shaking my head? He said, yes. I was feeling sorry for you. The girl's father told the son-in-law, his daughter's husband, when the boy finished telling the tales of war, he said, the day you were getting married, try and recollect. I was just shaking my head like this. He said, it was pity. I was feeling sorry for you. So you don't marry, finish now. What do you want me to do? Said, this is my friend. You see, this is my wife. She's a wicked person. Her daughter that you married twice as wicked as the mother. So, you see, I have never carried my wahala to anybody. Better go and solve your own. Now you marry wish, no be me. Now, that's the kind of wife from my place. Do you get my point? Good wives did there. Bad wives did there. And so it is everywhere. But more importantly than all of this, this is human reasoning. The fact is that the baseline thing in my heart is that the Bible says, henceforth, we know no woman after the flesh. If any babe is in Christ, she's a good wife. Are you getting what I'm explaining? And because of the young guys, men are here with you and they talk so. No, that is it. No, really. If any woman is in Christ, she's a good creature. She's a good wife. The only thing I couldn't stand is somebody who doesn't love the word of God. Till now, I can't stand it. That was my issue. That was my issue. Because the Bible says, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. It is spiritual. What word do I use now? Okay, the one I normally use. Spiritual madness. For a Christian to want to marry and be checking for a woman or a husband that comes from my area. Your area is an area of the spirit. Henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. That's what I concern myself with. That's what I preached. My auntie said I was using that to preach. I said, auntie, you didn't say I get your time. I have more serious things to attend to. There are a lot of young people who are confused in life that God sent me to go and give direction. What matters is that you marry a good wife. That's it. A good husband is not where the person is from. Where can people come from? For us believers, you can only come from the Spirit. He that is born from above is above all. That's what we know. I told you why we don't get persecuted anymore. It's because we make choices to make them happen. Let me tell you, you want to miss the will of God? Start by looking for those who are from your area. Ha! There are different kinds of devils. And Christians that deny the word of God always marry Satan. I'm telling you. No, you see, God, the way God does things is this. If you say, God, show me your will. You see, I take it in two levels. First, there's the written and general will. Before we discuss the specific will. So when you have already filtered out the women according to geographical places of origin. You understand what I mean? Then how am I going to talk to you again? When I said, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. One day, I finished teaching like this somewhere. Somebody wrote me a note. You know, it was going to ask questions. It was in Oka. I said that if where somebody is from is not important, how come Abraham said they should go and take Isaac, a wife, from amongst his people? Let's not laugh too much. She doesn't know better. It was a woman that asked that kind of question. No, she really didn't know. So let's answer it properly. She actually didn't know. So we should answer it for those who don't know. The truth is that Abraham didn't say that so that they can get a relative. He said, go and take a wife from amongst my people. It was because of what? Their heritage, their culture. He didn't want the Canaanites around who were of, because these are spiritual matters, of an accursed ascendancy. They are descendants of a curse. He didn't want that. They were worshipping gods that he did not know. That's what he was after. Are you getting my point? That's literal number one. Then secondly, we look at things again from the spiritual angle. The Bible says that if you are really in Christ, set your minds on the things that are above. What is the technology above in that thing? This is the above thing. If you want somebody that's of your tribe, you should get it. What is your tribe? Your tribe is of what? Faith. You are a descendant of Abraham. You can only marry a descendant of Abraham. She said, the young woman was quoting Abraham for me. Good, let's go into Abrahamic. All right? Technology. Do you understand my point? No, yes. You want to marry from your place? Good. Let's do it. Abraham said, go to amongst my people. Who are my people? The Bible says clearly that it is those who are what? Of the faith of Abraham. So when I want to marry, what it means is that I don't go to the midst of unbelievers. I go only into the midst of those who are of faith in Christ Jesus. That is how I marry. Paul said, give offense neither to Jews, nor to Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Like I said, that's the way it goes. It's Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. That's all. This is what Christianity is. You must locate your identity only in Christ Jesus, and nowhere else are you allowed to derive your identity from. You are from America. You know, people do that. There are women who marry any goat, as long as it comes from a foreign country. I'm telling you. I use the word go to let the human beings who behave like they don't have a brain. But the girl doesn't care. Because he wear one baggy trousers and sneakers. You know how much they sell those baggy trousers? $15. Those sneakers, they have them for $15 too. And you let that one impress you. And believe me, if you stay in a country where sun not today shine, your face will go smooth also. Some of this roughness of faces is sun. What am I going to explain? People, look, Paul said, that which was a gain to me, naturally speaking, I counted as loss. That's what Christianity is. We have to draw our identity. Look, that's what I want to understand. What you boast about is what you are in Christ, not the school you went to. There are those in somebody shouldn't talk to them because they might not go to school, reach you. Look, let me tell you something. Especially when it comes to school going, it has nothing to do with you. I hope you know that. It's the circumstance around where you were born. That's the primary thing that decided whether you went to school or you did not. Please, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. When God wanted to give us identity, you know what he did? He gave us Christ Jesus. Everything that's our life is what is described in him. Are you getting my point? Being a Nigerian, believe me, is a matter of purpose. It's about purpose. That's not my primary identity. The Bible says our citizenship is from where? Heaven. I'm a citizen of the heavenly city of Jerusalem. That's what I am. Being of, you know, of this geographical, you know, citizenship is about purpose. That's why you don't just change the place of your geography anyhow. I'm not saying you never change it, not just anyhow. Because for us believers, believe me, our lives, the Bible says that our lives are hid in Christ with God. Jesus is who gives us our identity. Not the schools we went to, nor the countries we are from. Let me end with this. We'll continue from this point next time. This is what I'm going to say. Your spiritual identity matters to God, and it decides how he responds to you. All men are not equal. But the gospel in it is that we have the ability to dress ourselves up spiritually. The Bible said that the bride clothed herself in a white garment. Do you get my point? That is, spiritually, God has given us the privilege of deciding the kind of cloth that we will wear. Are you following my point? I'll leave us with that one today. What are we going to do? Our assignment as people. Men, we have to build up our spiritual identities. Because God made you something in Christ. But Paul said, that thing that you were made, you must walk upon it. So that a time will come, an angel will show up and say, oh boy, you are highly esteemed. That thing is very important. The starting place is to focus on the right thing. And that is what you are in Christ Jesus. Natural achievements mean nothing. If I didn't add this one to you, one of the places where people miss their identity is when they want to purely use their natural achievements. Natural achievements do something. It's not bad identity, but it's limited. It's limited. Whatever you have achieved in life, Paul said, quickly put those things behind and move towards that which is ahead. Because believe me, listen, 1 million people can gather on one side and one person is on the other side. And that English saying is not a lie. When it says one with God is majority. Do you get my point? What I'm saying is not what people perceive of you. It's not what people perceive of you. It's what indeed you have become, spiritually speaking. I hope you've gotten my point today.